into My Guys in the Desert. Happy Friday. I'm Danielle Avari here at the VSiN Circus Studio. We have Matt Eumanns down at the South Point Sportsbook, and Aaron Rinning will be joining him in just a few short minutes. He probably got caught in some similar traffic that I got caught in trying to come to the circuit today. But nevertheless, he will be joining us in just a few short moments. So just me and Matt here for the starting five. Matt, this comes directly from a tweet you just sent. South Point has put up some new props for the NCAA tournament. Let's start with this first one here. Gonzaga, Baylor, and Villanova versus the field. Minus 110 on both sides. Love to get your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of like, if you don't, it all depends on what futures positions you have before these props are put up here at the South Point. And props to Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro, and V-Sin Vinny for getting this up today. Vinny and I have talked about this for 2 or 3 weeks now. So he thought about putting five teams up against the field. They decided to go with three and then a separate prop with the Big Ten we'll talk about in a minute. If you don't have any futures bets at this point, I think you probably like those three against the field. If you throw Villanova in there, I've got Villanova at 15-1, 16-1, and 20-1, three bets. I don't have anything on the Zags or Baylor. I'm not sure if I would play this prop. I just have to assess all my college basketball futures plays tonight and do the math and see what makes sense. But I'm a little bit more interested in the field against the Big Ten, Danielle. I thought that was a pretty attractive price on the field.
Right. So if we look at that one, Big Ten plus 140, the field minus 160. Are there any specific teams in the Big Ten that you think could have a shot at this?
I like Michigan. You know, I've got a future on Michigan at 30-1, so I would consider playing the field here. I think there are only two teams out of the Big Ten that can win this thing. One is Michigan, the other is Ohio State. We saw Iowa last night. I think the Hawkeyes are too soft. They got pounded by the Wolverines last night. Iowa's not good enough defensively to run the table and win the tournament. Illinois is too inconsistent. We just saw the Illini lose at Michigan State. We just saw a week and a half ago they struggled to beat Nebraska and Northwestern. So when you're talking about winning six straight games, I think there are two teams that can do it in the Big Ten. And that's Michigan and Ohio State. And since I have a future on Michigan at 30-1, I'm going to think about playing the field here at minus 160. I do believe that that field price is going to go up. From what it's currently at the South Point at minus 160, I believe you're going to see a higher price on that pretty soon.
So on this prop, you would err on the side of the field here, especially now before the price goes up.
Yes, okay, that's correct.
All right, cool. Let's move on to the NFL.
Can I get a prop on the field against the Pac-12? I would like that prop.
Oh,
can
man.
I get that? Okay. Maybe not?
Yeah, no. It's
That'd
looking
be too
bleak.
High
it seems
price.
Like any team can beat any team in the Pac-12 right now. But I did go 4-2 in my Pac-12 bets yesterday. So I was
nice job.
Gave myself a little pat on the back for that because we know college basketball was very rough for me at the start. It's turned around. We turned the corner, so that's the good news. Let's take a look at some NFL. I'm going to say rumors, not news here. But according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, large bets coming in on the Jets to win the AFC East, to win the AFC, to win the Super Bowl. Jets fans possibly thinking that Deshaun Watson is going there. Do you think there's any merit to this or any reason why someone might want to jump on an early ticket like that?
No, I would not jump on that ticket. Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause, right? So
yeah.
he is not going to go to the Jets if he doesn't want to. I would hesitate, and I'm not sure. I think that headline was exaggerated. I read that on Pro Football Talk, and obviously you want to write eye-catching headlines and make people click on it, right? That's the whole point. It's clickbait. If you actually read the story, there's no meat to it. There was a Las Vegas Review-Journal report, and it had Nick Bogdanovich, William Hill Sportsbooks quoted, but there weren't any numbers. There wasn't anything that really said that the Jets' bets were going crazy. I think they're just kind of searching for a story there. The Jets had moved a little bit from 20-1 to 12-1 to win the AFC East, but that's nothing crazy. You could say, well, I'm trying to get ahead of the curve, kind of like Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Hey, the Buccaneers were a far better team going into the offseason than the Jets are this season. So don't get caught up thinking the Jets as a Super Bowl futures bet, some kind of bargain, because it's a foolish bet.
That's right. I'm going to jump real quick to NBA. What is going on with the Lakers? They have the Trailblazers tonight. Any quick thoughts?
The Lakers are struggling with it, not only without Anthony Davis, but also without Dennis Schroeder. You know, everybody's saying, oh, no AD. Don't forget about Schroeder. He's not out there, too. And also, I think LeBron's starting to wear down a little bit because he's got to carry such a load for the Lakers offensively. So They're stumbling to the finish line, at least here at the All-Star break, Danielle.
All right, stick with us. More to talk about NBA, NFL quarterbacks, and what are the Vegas Golden Knights doing? Stick with us right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome in to My Guys in the Desert. We're kicking off hour one here. Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circa Studio. We have Matt Eumanns at the South Point Sportsbook. And Aaron Ridding joining us in just a few short moments in studio. We'll also have Chris Batola, ESPN College basketball analyst, on in just a few. And Robert Walker from U.S. Bookmaking. Matt.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights and their new pick sponsor, which we think is going to be eventually shot down here by the NHL before the weekend. But we'll talk more about that. Later in this hour, Robert Walker is going to join us. We might have a surprise guest on the show today. We'll see. But Chris Batola, ESPN College Hoops analyst, up on deck. And then Robert Walker later in the hour. Aaron Renning is going to join me in studio. But there was a NASCAR-like pileup out there somewhere in Las Vegas that's preventing him to get to the studio at this point. Blazers and Lakers, top game tonight in the NBA. Lakers, five-point favorites over the Blazers, total of 222. Danielle just asked me, what do you make of the Lakers? Well, I think LeBron is wearing down a little bit. You can see his patience is wearing thin, too, with this team right now. Without Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, the Lakers just don't have the firepower that they had. And they really don't have a deep enough bench to make up for it at this point. So I'd be very cautious in laying the points with the Lakers. Tonight they are laying five against Damian Lillard and the Blazers. Recap of college hoops last night. Michigan beat down Iowa. And we talked about this at length on the show yesterday. It seemed like everybody at VSiN liked Michigan in this game last night. Wolverines opened -3 at Circa. Went up to 5.5. I think closed 5 at most spots. And beat down Iowa by 22 points, I believe. I'll double-check the final score. Can we get up the graphic on that game? Also, Michigan State pulled its third straight upset. Spartans have defeated Indiana, Illinois, and now Ohio State in consecutive games. And three impressive performances in a row by the Spartans to come back from the dead and revive their hopes to reach the NCAA tournament last night. The Michigan win over Iowa, it was a close game at half, 32-29. If you laid the points, you probably weren't too comfortable. It ends up 79-57. It was a 22-point game. Luka Garza held to 16 points. That's about as good a defensive job as a team can do on a player like Garza, what the Wolverines did last night. And that's why you got to like their chances to win six in a row in March. The Wolverines are so good at both ends of the floor. You got to be good at the defensive end of the floor, and that's not the case with the Iowa Hawkeyes. Michigan State 71-67 over Ohio State last night. And I want to give credit to the Spartans here, but I got to say this is one of the worst officiated basketball games I've seen in the Big Ten this season. The officials were like three stooges. It was sad, actually, what happened. It kind of put a black eye on that game last night. But that'll be forgotten, and Michigan State gets a win it needs. It's now 7-9 in the Big Ten. Chris Batola joins us now, ESPN college basketball analyst. Chris, thanks for jumping on today, man. I appreciate it. And I wanted to talk to you first about those two Big Ten games I was talked about last night. What did you take away from Michigan's beatdown of Iowa and Michigan State's third straight upset victory?
Yeah, you know, it's the Michigan one, we could start there. I mean, obviously, they've a lot of folks talking about them over the last month here, and it's amazing how much better they are. You know, I think Gonzaga and Baylor have been on that plateau of their own, and, you know, Michigan really didn't enter that type of a conversation until the last, even the last few weeks here. But it's, you know, they've done it. Juwan Howard's done a great job. He's my national coach of the year. And they beat you in a whole lot of different ways. They're really good defensively, which has been kind of a holdover from the John Beilein days when he was still there. They're great defensively. They've got good length, good athletes, good size at the basket. And then offensively, they've gotten progressively better as the year has gone on. The point guard position was a real question mark coming into the year. They solidified that with Mike Smith. They've, you know, I think got a number of different guys who can hurt you. So their versatility on the offensive end has really come along. And then, you know, Michigan State, it's kind of what we're seeing, too, out of Duke a little bit, where you've got a team that really didn't have a whole lot of definition. They're not as young as Duke, but didn't have a whole lot of definition to start the year. They've just kind of been plugging along. You know, it's not a vintage Tom Izzo physical grind you out type of a team. They don't have that top shelf talent we're usually accustomed to with them. But again, they've gotten progressively better. You mentioned the last three games, they are playing their best basketball, and will be interesting to see if they have enough left in the tank to get themselves over the hump here and get into the tournament.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. Michigan, by the way, is a 9-point favorite at Indiana tomorrow, Chris. And the numbers are up now at Circus Sports for Saturday. Is that a tricky spot for the Wolverines off the game at Ohio State, off the big game last night against Iowa? You got a quick road trip and a turnaround to go to Bloomington to face an Indiana team that I really don't have a lot of respect for, but it is going to be a hungry home dog on Saturday because this game means a lot to the Hoosiers.
Yeah, it does mean a lot to them. A big target on the back of Michigan by now. And I'm with you. I'm not big on Indiana, but here's what Indiana can do. Indiana can screw up a game, and I mean that schematically, you know, not necessarily with their disposition. But, you know, they're very good defensively. It's kind of what they do. They run Archie Miller's always run a pack line defensive style. They're going to make you have to hit some perimeter shots, which Michigan is certainly capable of doing. 9 on that line seemed a little light to me, to be honest with you. I think Michigan is certainly better, but I think it speaks to your point. Kind of a weird game and an Indiana team that defensively could make things difficult, especially if Michigan doesn't show up to play.
Okay, let's go to the ACC. Chris Spatola with us, ESPN and SiriusXM basketball analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Chris_Spatola. You're a former Duke assistant. Are the Blue Devils back on the right side of the NCAA bubble? Are they back from the dead here? A lot of people buried this team. Duke's remaining schedule Saturday versus Louisville, Tuesday at Georgia Tech, and then next Saturday at North Carolina. Do you believe Duke is in a good position now? And actually, I've seen the number up in a couple books. Duke is now a favorite to be in the field of 68. Do you believe that's right, Chris?
Yeah, the way they're playing, yes. Now, we saw North Carolina, for example, start to play really good basketball and lay a complete egg against Marquette, who's not a very good team the other night. This game tomorrow, this may be one of the most bubble-licious in terms of power team games in the history of the ACC, because Louisville's on that bubble too.
Right.
So you're talking about two teams that are scrapping and clawing. I think Duke's going to win this game. I think they're playing better right now. But, you know, again, could they drop a game? You talk about a trap game with the Georgia Tech game sitting there. Georgia Tech, obviously a capable team. With Carolina on the horizon, you know, if they drop that game, for example, that Georgia Tech game, they are not in the tournament. So, I think at this point, Duke's got to win out here in order to feel very good about themselves in the tournament. But certainly they're playing a lot better. And I think this one tomorrow night will be very interesting because you're talking about two teams that are scrapping and clawing to get in there.
All right, Chris, I know it's not your profession, but I'm going to just test your odds-making skills here. What would you put a number, because it's out at circuit, what would you put the number on Louisville at Duke tomorrow?
I was actually about to ask you that. I'm very curious. I normally look – I'm doing the game, actually, and I normally look the morning of a game I'm doing. I would say that line right now is Duke 3.5.
It opened 6 at Circus Sports. Duke -6.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Blue Devils obviously gained a little respect in the betting market here in the past couple weeks with 4 straight wins. Do you really believe that Jalen Johnson checking out on the season was could have been the turning point for that Duke team?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things, and that's definitely a part of it. You know, I'm not in that locker room. You know, we were talking to Coach K today in the lead-up for the game tomorrow, and I just think, you know, A, they're playing better and they're winning games, which, as you know, I mean, obviously winning is going to change the perspective of anybody. But I also think there's probably a weight lifted. You know, I think there's probably a different vibe about them, and you can certainly see it in their body language and the way that they've played. I think they are certainly playing better. I mean, I don't think there's any dispute about that. And now whether that's directly related to Jalen Johnson or not, they're definitely playing better with him not in the lineup. So I think that's had an impact. But here's the other thing, man. Like, they're making shots now. Like, in the last four games, they've made 42 three-point shots. Their opponents have made 22. That's a 60-point differential in four games from the three-point line. So they have some other things going for them. And again, you know, when you're playing a team of largely freshmen, and those freshmen in their game against Syracuse the other night combined for 53 points, when those freshmen start to get better, all of a sudden now you start to play better.
Right. Chris Spatola with us, former player at Army and coach at Duke, ESPN basketball analyst. Chris, one of the things I respected about your college career the most, you probably never had anyone say this to you, is that you shot 90% from the free throw line, right?
Yes, sir. They were free points. I always saw them. I'm not much to look at, but my way is if I could get myself to the foul line, I'm banking those points. I am not giving that up.
Texas is one of the worst free throw shooting teams in the Power Five. In fact, last time I checked, around 250th in the country. The Longhorns had a dramatic comeback against Kansas in overtime a couple minutes ago. Let's talk Big 12 now for a second. And Kansas lost to Texas a couple nights ago. We'll get to Kansas-Baylor next. But Texas Tech has lost three in a row, Chris, and is at home against Texas tomorrow. How do you see that matchup between the Longhorns and the Red Raiders in Lubbock?
Yeah, I think Texas figured themselves out a little bit after that little scuffle they had and then ended up losing that game to West Virginia. I think they figured themselves out a little bit against Kansas. I've always been a believer in Texas this year. When you have old guards, you got a real shot to win every night in college basketball. I think defensively they're really tough. And there's no more athletic team at the rim in the Big 12 than Texas. I've seen Texas Tech a couple of times this year. I think Chris Beard's done a nice job. But they just don't offensively. They just aren't that real refined machine that I think you're going to need to be to win this game tomorrow. Mac McClung's had a good year, and there's a toughness to Texas Tech as we've become accustomed to. But I don't think offensively they're good enough to compete in this game, or certainly to win this game. So I think this probably goes to Texas tomorrow.
Texas Tech, a three-point home favorite. That's the opener at Circus Sports, and I agree with you. This Tech team just not good enough offensively. If Mac McClung is not a hot shooter, Tech has a lot of problems on the offensive end of the floor. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, another one in the Big 12 tomorrow, Chris. And Sooners, 4.5-point home favorites after they fell on the road at K-State. Do you believe Cade Cunningham's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, and how do you assess this matchup between the Cowboys and the Sooners, which is a really good one atop the Big 12?
Yeah, it is a really good one. Again, Oklahoma, a team, I know they got up into, I think they were 7, 8, or 9 in the AP poll. I've never been completely sold. I did their double overtime win against West Virginia, and they obviously, won that game, but I didn't. It was never like they don't wow you. And so unless there's like this collective, where we've got a lot of good balance offensively and then this collective toughness on the defensive end, that's what they didn't have against K-State. I mean, they just didn't show up against K-State. You know, Oklahoma State, on the other hand, they've got – obviously Cade Cunningham is a high-end talent, but they've had, as the year has gone on, they've had some of those other guys. They had a really good recruiting class come into Oklahoma State this year. And there are two other freshmen on that team, a kid named Matthew Alexander Moncrief and a kid named Rondell Walker. As those guys have gotten better as the year has gone on, and as Caleb Boone has started to play better, as some of those other guys around Kate Cunningham have gotten better, that's when that team has gone up. Their one issue is if you have size. If you have size up front, it can really bother them. Oklahoma really doesn't have that. They don't have that guy inside who could, I think, make Oklahoma State pay. So I like Oklahoma State in this game. And to answer your question about Cade Cunningham, I think absolutely he ends up being the number one pick in the draft. I mean, 6'8", there's really not a weakness in his game. I absolutely love him. Every time I've seen him live this year, I've loved him.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. All the top prospects I've seen, I've got him ranked number one as well. All right, we got about a minute left for the last game. Baylor opens a 5-point favorite at Kansas on Saturday. Chris, what do you think of that?
I think they pound Kansas. And, you know, I know everybody's probably looking at the Iowa State game and saying, what happened there? And, look, they were off for 19 days. It was the second pause in their season. That team, I think they've shaken the rust. I think getting the game under their belt helps them. And I just don't think Kansas has enough firepower. I mean, that's the thing with Baylor and why they're undefeated. They guard you, and they're really tough to stop on the offensive end. And I just don't think Kansas has enough, certainly on the offensive end. I love this Baylor team. Now, I'm interested to see how they play in this game because they got a long way to go to get back to where they were playing at their height this year. But it'll be an interesting that result will be an interesting one.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch. Baylor a little rusty after that three-week layoff. Chris Spatola, ESPN SiriusXM basketball analyst. Chris, hey, man, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it today.
My pleasure, guys. Be good.
All right, have a great weekend. Aaron Rennings back in studio. Did you get through that NASCAR-type crash out there on the 215?
Okay, yeah, good time.
Next segment, we're going to have you preview tonight's Blazers-Lakers and Jazz Heat games. So warm up for that. That's next on My Guys in the Desert.
To My Guys in the Desert, live from the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Aaron Renning.
All right, go to Circus Sports on Twitter or just log on to the app if you want to check out the college basketball opening lines for Saturday. Man, there's a big schedule tomorrow. It's great to see that. And a nice job by the Circa odds makers to get those numbers up. They actually went up about 3 hours ago. Looks like at about 11 a.m. as usual. Big schedule for Saturday. Also, don't forget the college basketball props that have been posted out here at the South Point by Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro, and Vinny Maiulo on Gonzaga, Baylor, Villanova versus the field, and the Big Ten versus the field. And we'll talk about those more later in the show. Back to the NBA with Aaron Renning. Follow him on Twitter at ERSports1. And we talked a little bit at the top of the show about the Blazers and the Lakers. And L.A., a 5-point home favorite, total of 222.
Well, it's interesting with the Lakers and where they're at. You knew going into the season that the focus wasn't going to be on the regular season. They came out and they played well. But, boy, they have certainly sputtered of late off that embarrassing effort. Matt, against Utah. There wasn't much they could do. It was a bad matchup for them. You know, a couple different things in the NBA so far this year, Matt. You know, these teams just can't practice. I don't remember a year where you've had these streaks. It seems like every day you have a good handful, maybe 10 streaks that are prolonged. New Orleans over, Lakers right now betting against them, Sacramento with another team. You know, teams, there's just not much change. These teams are playing essentially, three out of every 5 days. They're not practicing, so that's what you get. You know, are the Lakers out of gas? Because it's crazy how this team has not been able to shoot and shoot three-pointers. 7 of their last 9 games, they've shot under 30% from the three-point line. Matt, since the restart in essentially, August 1st, the Lakers have played 62 games. And then you have a team like the Detroit Pistons that played 32.
Mm-hmm.
New York Knicks, they played half of what the Lakers have played. We saw Miami struggle to start the campaign as well. So, is it their legs? Because, again, if you watch the NBA on a nightly basis, these teams are making three-pointers like layups. Yeah. And the Lakers are the complete opposite here. And now you do get to play a Portland defense. Obviously, it's not very good. It's one of the worst defense, certainly for a playoff team or a winning team, one of the worst defensive teams you'll see in the NBA. Much is made of this, you know, the depth here for the Lakers. They do get Schrader back, which is going to be a big help. Anything is a help for this Lakers team at this point. So it seems like a spot for the Lakers. I'm still not quite ready to lay 5 points. I know many have been riding this Lakers under the total. But again, Portland's a team where they should be able to score. I'm waiting for the Lakers to maybe change a little bit, try to get easier baskets, maybe run a little bit more. Just haven't seen that quite yet. We'll see if they do that tonight with Schrader. So no bet on me for this one.
Yeah, the I said that at the top. I thought LeBron was wearing down a little bit because he's got to carry such a load for this team offensively. I also think his patience is wearing thin. I could see that in the Utah game when they got bombed from three-point range. Jazz hit 22 of 48 from three-point range in that game. So Jazz in action tonight, laying 6 or 6.5 at Miami, total of 219. What do you think of that matchup?
Well, it's a great matchup. I mean, we hope that we can see these two teams at full strength. We know Utah has certainly been full throttle here throughout the campaign. The trouble you have here with Miami, Adebayo is questionable, probably more towards probable with a knee bruise. Tyler Hero has not played, I think, what, the last two or three games. He's questionable for this game as well. They did get Dragic back in that last game. These two teams met 2 weeks ago, 13 days ago, on February the 13th on that Saturday night. Miami went into Utah. I thought it was a decent spot for the Heat, but there's no good spots right now against this Utah Jazz team. It was close throughout the half, very low scoring, low pace game before Utah again hit that throttle and were able to carry out and win going away in the second half. But, you know, you look at the line in this game a couple of weeks ago. You look at the lines for Utah. Now, you know, 7-point favorite essentially at Miami. I have not been able to ride Utah during the streak, and I'm not looking to here. Again, Miami's all out here, 15-17, trying to get back into the playoffs.
Did you play that Jazz game when they beat down the Lakers on Wednesday night? Utah was a 9-point favorite.
I had a big bet on the under.
Did I get there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got there because the Lakers didn't do enough scoring. Right. 22 three-pointers for Utah. And that game was really, I mean, you felt like it was over by the half. Hey, we have some news in the NFL we'll get to next here on My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Alvari here at VSiN, the sports betting network. We're on top of all the sports on today's schedule to help you become a sharper better for every game on the board. We have the best handicappers in the business giving you the tools you need to create your own betting edge. And right now, for only $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily best bets emails, point spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and of course, all access to vsin.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops tournament for only $50 at vsin.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Aaron Rinning.
All right, there's been a lot of talk about the Raiders quarterback situation here in the offseason. Teams reportedly showing interest in Derek Carr. The Raiders reportedly about to let Marcus Mariota go because John Gruden likes Nathan Peterman so much as the backup quarterback. Whether you like Peterman or not, Mariota is probably going to be playing somewhere else. There are going to be teams interested in him. Pro Football Talk put this up, and I think it was at sportsbetting.com, which obviously it's not on the board in Vegas right now. But betting odds have Marcus Mariota's favored to be the Patriots' starting quarterback. There are going to be a lot of options out there for the Patriots. Mariota is the favorite at one book as of right now. What do you think makes the most sense for the Patriots? Because I would believe that Bill Belichick might have some interest in Jimmy Garoppolo and some of the other veteran quarterbacks out there as well.
Yeah, certainly the couple guys you mentioned. Mariota makes some sense. You know, it seemed like the Patriots were more than fine, happy to go to a quarterback that could use his legs, use that kind of power run game, quarterback capable of running, although can he stay healthy, I guess, what you have with a running quarterback. But you know, what quarterback wants to go to New England?
Right.
that bad. Right. It doesn't seem like many want to play for the Patriots right now. You have to understand that you don't have a lot of weapons to work with as well, certainly at the wide receiver, the tight end position. So to me, it's more, yeah, New England can pick their guy, but, you know, who's going to pick New England?
Well, I guess Marcus Mariota would be thrilled to play there.
If you can start, certainly, if you have that option to be able to, I guess, redeem yourself or however you want to put it. But, yeah, that certainly would make some sense to me.
And I wonder if, you know, Bill Belichick's going to look for a quarterback in the draft, if he's going to get sold on a guy like Alabama's Mac Jones. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But he probably wants a veteran quarterback, too. And Jarrett Stidham, not the guy they would go into camp with as a number one, because Cam Newton's going to be out the door. But I'm still in the back of my mind thinking that Jimmy Garoppolo somehow might end up with the Patriots.
Again, if he wants to. I mean, right. It doesn't seem like San Francisco would be that interested. It makes sense because you have a fit. You have someone that knows the offense and can understand that. You know, but again, you know, how bad does he want to go there and know what you're up against, really, from an offensive perspective?
Well, I also, you know, John Lynch, the Niners GM, came out this week and said Jimmy's our guy. But he has to say that. I mean, he obviously the Niners are looking at all of their quarterback options, and one might be Deshaun Watson. And we're going to get into Deshaun Watson in hour number two. But Russell Wilson told the Seahawks, this was from Adam Schefter at ESPN, Wilson told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle. But if a trade were considered, and this is the classic Aaron Rodgers passive-aggressive, I'm not demanding a trade, but I would like a trade. Russell Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but the four teams he would go to, only teams he would go to, Cowboys, Saints makes sense because they could win a Super Bowl now, Raiders, and Bears. Which team sticks out to you as the one that doesn't make the most sense?
Well, the Raiders, you know, and the Cowboys, perhaps. I guess the Cowboys don't have a quarterback for sure, but the Raiders obviously do with what they're capable. The Bears is kind of a strange one with that. But, you know, I was thinking about this, Matt. You know, how the Bears, it's almost, if the Bears were able to get Wilson, it's almost like the Lakers when they got LeBron James. As an organization, you can possibly screw everything up, and then you get one of the best players in the league decide that he wants to go there and make it work, and everything just turns around and becomes, you know, a great option for you. So it's a little bit odd. You know, it really comes down to what, you know, what team is able to obtain one of these guys. You know, the Saints, from a salary cap perspective, I'm not sure what they would be able to do to be able to get Wilson. But, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. I always say that, Matt. It was very strange with, you know, let Russell cook, and he did throughout the first half of the season. Then he had some turnovers. Pete Carroll said, let's get back to the run game. He was never really on board with that. So a very odd situation. You're right. Wilson doesn't seem to want to come off as, you know, confrontational, if you will. But there seems to be something there.
There was a story in The Athletic, and if you get a chance to read it, it kind of details the divide between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks coaches. And when you get a quarterback with this type of ego who thinks that, hey, I've got to go out and start winning Super Bowls and my legacy's on the line, I think it's pretty obvious Wilson wants out of Seattle. And he's trying to figure out where he could go to win a Super Bowl. I'm not sure why he put the Bears on the list. I'm not sure why he put the Cowboys on the list, because the Cowboys are probably going with Dak Prescott, and they got the worst defense in the league, essentially. I think the Saints make sense, but like you said, they're strapped. The Saints are up against the cap, and I don't think they have the assets they could give up in a Russell Wilson-type trade. John Gruden would do backflips to to give away everything he could. He and Mike, what's his name, the GM?
Mayock.
Mike, Gruden and Mike Mayock would do anything they could to make a Russell Wilson trade work with the Raiders. We've also seen J.J. Watt interested in the Raiders. So the Raiders are becoming a hot destination, potential destination for some of these free agents or guys like Russell Wilson who want to be traded.
Yeah, you know, Wilson just has that big contract, man. It's so hard to, you know, be able to make that fit in the modern day type of NFL, you know, just to bring someone in like that. And have it work. Obviously, there's a lot of other things involved as far as running the offense. It worked for Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers and Brady, but that's always going to be a different situation.
I know, it's not fantasy football, and you can't just trade pieces like their football cards or whatever. But I said the same thing about Carson Wentz going to the Colts in the fall, that he could land if Philadelphia wanted to move him, he could land in Indianapolis. And all I heard was, oh, financially, they can't make it work.
Yeah.
No way you can make it work.
Good point.
Well, it worked. They made the trade work.
Right.
And they had to eat a big dead cap charge, but they're going to do it. Also from Pro Football Talk, Jason Licht, Buccaneers GM on a Tom Brady extension. We'd like to keep this going. No surprise, after you win a Super Bowl, everybody's happy.
Right.
It's the honeymoon. How many more years do you realistically think Brady could play at a high enough level to keep it going?
It's amazing. I mean, I give him till what, 45 maybe? That's another 3 years, two, 3 years?
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick thought he was done 2 years ago.
I mean, a lot of people did five years ago. The list goes on.
All right, we're going to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights and their official sports pick service partner. We're going to do that next here on My Guys in the Desert. Robert Walker joins us.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Aaron Renning.
All right, that's OddsTrader.com. You want to check that out. They are not the official sports pick service partner of the Vegas Golden Knights. That was some of the most ridiculous news to break this week, is what's happened with the NHL's Las Vegas franchise, the first U.S. professional team to sign a sports betting tout partner. And that was done 2 days ago. The Golden Knights signed a multi-year agreement with a Mexico-based Uptick Trade service to be the team's official sports pick sponsor. We're going to get to Robert Walker now, U.S. bookmaking, the chief bookmaker over there, former MGM Mirage, Stardust bookmaker, among other places. Robert, how you doing today, man?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Good. I saw you tweeting about this decision by the Vegas Golden Knights. Very controversial decision. Not many people in our industry approve of this. What was your reaction? Did you think it was a joke when you first saw it?
I did. I thought, you know, that Onion got to the I just couldn't believe it. I mean, there's no precedent for something like this. So, you know, and I'm always leery because I think I've gotten had a few times, Matt, where people have – you know, and I'm guilty of it too. I'm so sarcastic on Twitter, but this was just so insane. I couldn't believe it. So I had to actually go and look into it before I started posting anything because I just didn't believe it, to be honest.
So what are some of the potential problems here, Robert? When and we were throwing your tweets up on the screen, you can follow Robert Walker at Robert USF Sports. What are some of the things you think are problems with this partnership?
Well, I mean, I think let's just start with integrity, right? From you know, the tout service historically, and I don't want to lump all touts into the same, you know, pool, because I know there's some really good people out there that are very analytical and just don't bet. They love the analytics of, you know, handicapping. But I think there's some problems just in that world. It's a cesspool, right? I mean, it's kind of how I learned, honestly, how I got into this business, you know, 35 years ago, because the professor, you know, went 30-0 in his, you know, games of the years. And I kind of, as an 18-year-old who didn't know anything, was betting dollar parlays with his my best friend's father. I learned about these touts from the way back. And, of course, you know, at Stardust, we try to start our own rotation because of the touts ads that were in the paper. And I don't know if you remember back in the day, but, I mean, there was tout ads all the time saying, you know, I'm 27-1 on Monday Night Football. So it's just a very, very, you know, bad, I think, situation. And especially with the NHL team, you know, and I lumped NHL. I always try to put NHL in the major leagues, but it's really not. You know, and this illustrates it to me that, you know, they're you know, a secondary league at best if they could do something like this. Because you would think somebody would have to sign off on this, the NHL, who just a few years ago was touting how bad sports betting was, and now they want you to go to their sports betting selection site. So, and also, Matt, on top of that, they can supposedly they can pick on or against the Knights. I mean, they don't have any. You know, they can do whatever they want, but does any team need an official pick serving site? I mean, is that something that any team really needs?
I mean, how desperate are they? This is a cash grab, obviously. I wonder what the terms of the contract were and how much money was involved. Aaron Renning, I even saw Las Vegas touts panning this. But, you know, like Robert Walker said, now, you can't put all touts under one umbrella. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys who are really good. Guys who were touts and other guys who were slime balls and shady, so you can't throw them all under the same umbrella, but you've been in the tout business as well. What sort of problems do you see here?
I have, and, you know, at first you're like, what? Like, what is going on here? Yeah. And just very odd with what it is. And, you know, if you kind of do things right and you're not doing the boiler room tight tactics, I mean, there's not a ton of money in selling picks. You can certainly make more money betting out mm-hmm. there if you're that good. And, so there has to be a pretty good amount of money here that the Knights would be even interested in that. So that just kind of tells you right away where the money's coming from, et cetera, that would, for me, kind of draw red flags.
There's a story up on Legal Sports Report, if you want to read this, about the Vegas Golden Knights partnership with a tout service based in Mexico and all the details. By the way, that Mexican tout service is run by a guy with Vegas connections. So it's not just a bunch of touts who grew up in Mexico touting hockey. And VSiN Vinny Maiulo said a couple days ago, what are they going to do, just pick the Knights in every game?
Right.
Just pick the Knights to win tonight?
Goal line, first period. Yeah,
can you pick against the Knights?
Right.
Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal tweeted, a quick glance at the website of this company tells me this may be even worse than I thought at first. And Robert Walker, you tweeted about, outside of going with the Tennessee or Oregon lottery, I can't imagine a dumber idea than the Knights going into bed with a tout service. What's going on here? Really, you have to question how the NHL would approve something like this. And, Robert, I got word today that the NHL is probably going to shoot down this deal, and we're going to find out shortly that this is actually not going to happen because of the negative reaction the league. It sounds like the league is going to kill this deal.
Yeah, but I think the bigger problem here, Matt, is the stupidity of the leagues, right? You know, on one hand, they're clamoring for integrity and integrity fees and making sure everything's on the up and up, and then they do something just outrageously insane here. And, you know, like I said, it just questions everything that you hear from the leagues. You know, obviously I'm anti-leagues. I can't stand them. You know, they're just a money grabbing. But at the same time, we need them to play the games or else I don't have a job. So it's a very catch-22 for me. So right. So this is just, I think, typical. And I lumped in Tennessee and Oregon, and I think you can throw Montana in there as well. And as just people that they're doing stuff that they don't understand. I believe that there was probably nothing nefarious here, that it's just a simple case of the Knights have zero understanding of what they're doing. You know, they have no understanding of the sports betting, how it relates to them, how it relates to integrity. And somebody's making decisions based on, you know, like you said, money, and not any kind of understanding of the business whatsoever.
And you wouldn't expect that from a Las Vegas franchise. But I guess they thought they were going to be they thought they might be trailblazers here and be the first to sign a deal with a tout service. And somebody sort of stepped up in the staff meeting that day and said, this might not be a good idea.
But, yeah, somebody signed off on it, though.
Right.
So, you know, I think heads have to roll here. I mean, you know, if it's a low-level person, you know, I'd give them a break. But, you know, if the president signed off on it, then there needs to be a new president. Because he's just a moron. You know, whoever signed off on this is just a moron. And the problem that you have here is, like I said, you know, they're talking about integrity, which, you know, just is so self-serving, you know, and that they didn't have an integrity process now. And then to sign with any tout, I don't care if they're from Mexico or whatever, any tout whatsoever. And then one that claims that you can make a living off of their selections, which is, you know, I for a second I thought about quitting my job and maybe finding out if it's true or not, but I'm just going to kick back and see if everybody, but I mean, you know, all the books will go out of business pretty soon if they all follow Uptick or I don't even know what the name of the company is. You tick something. But it was just, like I said, it was like a April 1st joke or a Onion story. I just think that, you know, there's got to be smarter people in the room. And I know they're not in Tennessee and I know they're not in Oregon. So those, you know, they did it because it's the path of least resistance. It saved the money. They already have a lottery system in place. So they said, how hard is it to run sports? And you can see all the mistakes that I think that they've made. And in Oregon still, I don't think it's made a dime. The only people that have made any money in Oregon is the sports platform there. So it's comical because Oregon's two states away from Nevada, really. Or is it just one state? I think it's one state over if you go up. So there's no excuse for Oregon except for stupidity. And I put this under the same thing for the Knights. And hopefully they learn, the leagues learn, and we can move on. But I think it's an embarrassing black eye on NHL, who I thought had a chance to overtake baseball, who I consider to be the dumbest sport out there. But NHL, you know, they clearly took a dive, nosedive here, and they want to be in the bottom four. Then they'll remain there with stuff like this.
At Robert USF Sports on Twitter, from U.S. Bookmaking, former bookmaker at the MGM Mirage and Stardust. Robert, got a couple minutes left. Have you monitored the situations with the possibilities of legal betting coming to Florida and Texas in those specific situations?
Yeah, we're watching them. I mean, I'm anti the sports league, you know, getting a sports franchise getting a, you know, license. It's just like I said, once again, it's just a slap in the face. I think so. I believe if that happens, Matt, there'll be lawsuits all over the place. I still think a lot of this stuff will be settled in the court, especially with the lotteries, you know, picking a monopoly and everything else. But Florida, you know, I went to Florida working for Genting, and we tried to open up a Miami branch, and I had retired. I went back to work for Genting. That was our goal, was to open up a spot in Miami, and got shot down, and then they shipped me off to Bimini, where I disappeared for 3 years. So, I mean, I understand how difficult it is in Florida. I mean, you have the Native Americans and you have Disney. It's a very tough nut to crack there. So, but obviously those are the two states, along with California, that are the gold mine.
And New York, obviously, too. So,
in New York.
Yeah. Got a few dominoes yet to fall. Robert Walker of U.S. Bookmaking. Robert, it's great to catch up with you again, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
You too, guys. Anytime. Appreciate it.
All right, ER. We're going to break down the entire NBA card next.
Looking forward to it.
How many plays do you have on the card tonight?
Unfortunately, not a lot. Probably like three plays.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny. You just never know. Last night, there were six games. I really liked the card. I had seven plays. I had one of my best nights of the year. And it seemed like after I left the studio last Friday, nothing went right for about 5 or 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, it kind of all makes up for it. So as we always talk about on the show, you just got to – do your process, and if the plays are there, they're there. If they're not there, they're not there. But I do have about three plays we can talk about.
Yeah, I hear you. I've actually had a roller coaster ride in college hoops, more downs than ups in the past 2 weeks. Everything was smooth going into the middle of January. It was all winning weeks, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden I hit a bumpy ride.
You can make a living betting these plays, Matt.
You can make a living betting on sports. It's so easy. Just sign right up with You Pick Trade and play the Golden Knights games. We'll take a quick break. Going to come back hour number two, break down the entire NBA card. We've got top plays. More to talk about in the NFL with quarterback carousel. We're going to break down the best games on tonight's card and look ahead to college hoops on Saturday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.